expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
All right, good morning, Jefferson. I'm here with my new co-host today. This is Wynn, and this is Chris.
Good morning, everybody. Temporary co-host.
Filling in where Terry's going to be out today, so thank you for coming in and help us out.
No problem. Enjoying listening to the Black Mountain Bandits there. Listened to them live yesterday, didn't we? That was pretty awesome.
Yep.
Got pretty awesome.
Got to hold a cup up to them.
Yes, we did. A couple cups, if I remember right. Yeah, shout out to Clayton Raposa. Did a great event down there in Anderson River Park. Clayton and Brittany, it was awesome. There was lots of people there. It was fantastic. Maybe next time they should probably put the beer booth further away from the Jefferson booth. But, you know, only because that was Wynn and I there.
We'd have to walk farther.
So, yeah, great event. Great event. It was really nice to talk to a lot of people that we don't normally talk to and get to see a lot of folks. And,
right.
You know, got to see some new faces and, you know, kids having fun. And it was a pretty good time. So
it was a good family event.
Yep.
I mean, you know, it was free to attend. No admission, no purchasing of anything unless you wanted to buy food, drink, or play games, you know, for the kids. And a lot of it was free. So it was good. It was a really good event.
And I did notice more people down there, you know, listening to the music. I think the last times there was kind of like most people were just walking around. And then I did notice when we were sitting there, there was more and more people kind of sitting up chairs and sitting down there listening. So that was kind of cool, too.
Very good.
So, yeah.
And it was perfect weather yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Because the night before, it was raining a little bit. It's like, oh, well, it might be a little damp tomorrow, you know, and it turned out to be a great
event. Yesterday was breezy, but today is downright windy.
Yes. Okay, we also want to thank Ashley for keeping us out of trouble here in the studio. She's going to do her level best. I guess the swear button is not working accordingly, so Chris and I are going to keep her on our toes.
We're going to
test her. Don't make me look bad here, guys.
Test her constantly. In fact, do you know any good limericks?
Yeah. I do, but we might go get in trouble.
So, anyhow.
We'll have to wait for Terry to come back so she can really do it.
So, what do we got coming up, Wynn?
Well, tomorrow night we have our Jefferson meeting, a little bit before our Patriot meeting at 2570 Bonneview at a church to be remain nameless down on Bonneview Road. It's the only church on Bonneview here in Shasta County and Redding specifically. So, if you're in the area, come on by, check it out. Meet a few new Patriots if you want. Hear about Jefferson. Find out what's going on from Jefferson and Shasta County's perspective, and also Jefferson-wide. Then right after that, then we roll over into the Patriot meeting, and we're having James, and I just went blank.
Crockett, thank you.
Crockett. James Crockett. He's coming, and he's going to give us a little spiel on what's happening. So we'll see what he has to say.
Yeah, he's running for Reading City Council.
City Council, yep.
We need to hear those guys and see what they have to say, because there could be used some changes on that particular board, in my opinion. But
yep. And then the following week, we're going to be having Aaron Resner.
Cool.
So just, you know, the next 2 weeks, we're going to have a couple people come in and talk about city council and what they hope to accomplish by getting on the board or the council and seeing what they have to say. And, you know, we need to do that. We need to find out. We need to be able to ask questions and see what their thoughts are and see if they want to get our votes.
That would be some lively information.
Yes. So we encourage everybody to come out and check it out. Also, let's see. We have tickets for sale, the gun sale tickets. The gun tickets that we have, we've had them for a while, and we're trying to get them all sold. So if you have any concern or want to get more gun tickets, we encourage that. Sally has several, and then you can get them from some other members, you know, of people that are part of the Jefferson movement. Just connect and find out who you know that may have them or not. But you can get them from Sally. You can come to our meeting and buy them there if you'd like.
I think there's some over at Jones's Fort.
And also Jones Fort.
I was at the barbershop in Cottonwood the other day. It looked like Woody had some there. So,
we can
get them out there. And it's for a Glock. You choose your caliber and model.
Right.
So, you know, 9mm, 40 caliber, 45 caliber, whatever suits your fancy. Win the gun. They're $5 each, 5 for 20.
Yep.
And, again, all proceeds go to our lawsuit.
That's right. So we're encouraging everybody to buy tickets. And even if you don't win, you're still supporting the cause.
Yep.
So, you know, help us out with that, and we appreciate it. And then if you want to find out what's going on Jefferson Wise, we have a messenger is what we it's called, and it's a media form that's put together by a group of really talented ladies, and they print up stories and the information, not so much stories, but information so you know what's going on either politically or what's going on Jefferson-wise or anything else. And you need to, if you want to participate in that and receive that via email, go to soj51.org, and then you can sign up for the messenger. You can navigate through the system or just go down to the bottom of the page, I believe, on that first page, and it'll tell you how to sign up for the messenger. And you can read the past messengers as well to see what's been going on.
Yeah, they have them archived there. And this particular week one, it's a pretty good one. It's talking about the zero emissions that California proposes to pass and how it's this, you know, great idea, no coal burning and yada, yada. And it gives all the examples of, you know, right now we rely heavily on natural gas to do our generators, and it shows all the different, you know, megawatts and terawatts and whatever. And but, you know, it's kind of funny because they use this touchy-feely great idea that, you know, there's no logic behind it, and they put some logic to it and kind of let people know, well, you know, not only are we not capable of doing that now, and, you know, it shows the how hard it would be to try to even get us there. But then once we would get there, you know, all the cars would have to be non-fossil fuel too. So all of a sudden that would make a huge more demand on, you know, the energy that we're supposed to be producing without. And so it's pretty interesting. And they did a great job breaking it all down. And it just makes you realize it's impossible.
Yep.
It's impossible.
And that's the beauty of it, too. And that's written by, you know, Jeffersonians.
Yeah.
These four ladies that put all that together, they do a stellar job. So we want to tip our hats to them for doing that. Thank
Absolutely.
You, ladies. All right. Well, now we also have a caller on the line. Good morning, Gary. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Wynn. How you doing?
So good, far, so good. Good. So what's up?
Well, we had a result this week in our petition to the U.S. Supreme Court. It was denied, and it's kind of shocking, really. If you look, the calendar that the court put out was 74 pages long, and it's just filled with cases that the court denied. It granted a few of them, but it kind of shows you what theory and application is. The theory is that, you know, you can go to court, have your day in court, and if you don't prevail, you can appeal and go up to the higher courts. But getting to the Supreme Court is rarer and rarer and rarer today. And again, there's hundreds of cases on this order, and most of these cases are denied, so people really didn't get their day in court.
Now, not only are they not getting their day in court, but the people that look at that information before it even gets to the justices are the clerks, correct?
Correct, and that's how it's usually taken care of, and that's where the disposition comes from, is the clerk. And so your rights are getting shorter and shorter shrift, and a lot of times these clerks decide what to do. They make a recommendation to the judge, and the judge just goes along with the recommendation and really doesn't see your papers.
So could that be a recent college graduate, you know, somebody 21, 22, 23 out of law school, and they're the ones making those decisions on these cases?
Well, yeah, they would have a undergraduate degree and then have finished law school to clerk there, yeah. But they don't have much practical experience. They've just book learned and haven't been out in the real world, and they're kind of institutionalized then. They don't really have the practice they need to decide some of these things.
So that sounds like that needs to be retrofitted a little bit.
Well, it does, and that's what's true about our whole government. Like the CFR case, Citizens for Fair Representation, we're trying to claim our representation, which was one of the fundamental founding principles, and you find out it's kind of been jettisoned, thrown aside, and it's more about the government than it is about the people. The legislature was placed first in the Constitution for a reason. Although we're supposed to have three independent and co-equal branches, the legislature's first among equal because it's closest to the people. And like the lower house in our state, the assembly, and in the federal government, the U.S. House of Representatives, they're supposed to be the pulse, the lifeblood of the people, and that's how our will gets actualized. And it's good in theory. The Constitution started out one rep for every 30,000, And as the population grew, we were supposed to add representatives and keep that ratio. And then if some of your listeners are familiar with this, there's a thing called Article the First, which was the original First Amendment. And it was in fact ratified back in 1879, around that time. And it was not sent to the Congress, and so it just sat there. And in the Laverne case, Laverne versus U.S. House of Representatives in the D.C. District Court, he's filed his lawsuit, and he's saying that it has to be implemented. It was, in fact, ratified, and it just sat there, but today it has to be ratified, and we should have 6,000 reps in the U.S. House of Representatives, and that's how the power comes back to the people. It's organic and with these smaller districts, and then our will gets recognized. And we're trying to do the same thing with our case here in California. The last time they added a member to the legislature was in 1862, when there was about 700,000 people in California. Since then, we've added 39.5 million people, but added no reps. And these districts just keep getting larger and larger. Our assembly districts are one rep for 500,000. The state senate are one for a million. And at some point, you reach bigger is not only not better, bigger doesn't work. And the parties have taken over our government, and you have to have money to run for these offices. And so the people are left out of their own government, really.
So what do we do to fix that?
Well, things that we're doing. I mean, people, patriots have to step up. Citizens have to get engaged and do their civic duty. Most Americans have taken a permanent vacation on their civic duty. They're not participating, and they think that freedom is free. And that void is then going to be filled by people that don't have your interest. So you've got to get involved, and that's what we want. If we had these smaller districts, The interest of the community would be recognized more.
Okay. All right.
There's a really good book that came out in 1992 by William Grider, and it's called Who Will Tell the People? The Betrayal of American Democracy. And he talks about, it's mainly about the federal government, and they have a K Street there where the lobbyists are, and he has a chapter entitled Grand Bazaar, that everything's for sale. And rather than represent the people, these lobbyists are there, and they represent foreign interest and special interest. And there's where the money is, and that's what happens. And then in California, we have our own K Street with lobbyists that do the same thing.
Wow.
Hey, Gary, I've been asked the question a couple times, and hopefully you can answer it. I've had some people ask me, can we write another request for a writ of mandamus? Is it worth our time to do that again?
Well, probably not. I mean, in theory it would be, because you think the court's going to take your paper seriously and hear them, but I'd recommend you, or I can send you this link to this calendar, and it's just mind-boggling when you look at case after case. In fact, right after our case was a matter called In re Cliven Bundy. And so his petition was denied also there.
Yeah.
But there's case after case after case. And so many people petition the Supreme Court. And most of the time the review is discretionary. And a lot of times it's the cases that the court doesn't grant that should be granted, as opposed to some of the ones they do grant. And then you see what just happened with this confirmation process of Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, it sucked the oxygen out of everything. That's maybe one reason we could never get any press on our writ, and it was a novel writ. These apportionment cases, there's a special statute, it's 28 U.S.C. 2284, and you're supposed to have a three-judge panel because these cases are so important. And again, we were initially granted that by our judge, Judge Mueller, and then it was a, after it was granted, she said that the statute was implicated and then did her duty to send it over to the chief judge. Then our opposition, the Attorney General's office representing the Secretary of State, filed an application for a reconsideration. And their papers had no new facts, no new law. And you're not allowed to really bring that, or you can bring it, but it should be readily denied because otherwise everybody would ask for reconsideration of any ruling that was against them. So you have to come up with new facts or new law, and there was none in there. And initially then we were set for a hearing on that, and it was taken off calendar, so it never got heard. Then we filed a we filed an amended complaint and another request for a three-judge panel, and the judge didn't do anything, so we filed a motion. That was calendared. It was taken off calendar, and we went up to court for a hearing, and we confronted the judge and asked her about that, and we made a good record that showed that she didn't think our case was frivolous. And under the case of Shapiro versus McManus, a 2015 case, unanimous decision by Justice Scalia, and it said these cases are really important. You should get a three-judge panel. They limited the discretion of the trial judge and the chief judge and said, if you find, you know, do this threshold determination and if the case is frivolous or not, and again, she found ours was not, then we should get a three-judge panel. But we made a good record, and we got the judge to tell us what happened, and she said there was some discussion between her and the chief judge. The chief judge essentially told her to pull it back, and she also spoke with some staff attorneys, and that's not permissible because their discretion is limited. She only determines whether it's frivolous or not, and she determined it was not, so then her sole duty is not to talk to anybody, but to just refer it over to the judge. Again, she initially did that, the chief judge, and then his limited duty is to appoint the two other judges. So we thought our writ was very, very well founded, and these judges are not supposed to discuss cases amongst themselves. That's called ex parte communication, and they're not supposed to do that, so we thought there was a really good basis for our writ to be granted. But with this Kavanaugh confirmation process, we couldn't get anybody to in the media to report about it. We went to several of the legal websites and commentaries, and nobody would talk about it.
Sounds like we need to do a FOIA request for that time frame around there, if that's a possibility.
Yeah. Well, it's a possibility, but it doesn't work. You can't get a lot of records from the judges. And that's one of the problems that, you know, in theory, we the people are sovereign. We're the masters, and the government's supposed to be our servants. But in application, you see what's happened. Government has given itself a bunch of immunity and turned the system upside down. They've inverted it.
Hey, Gary, can you hold on? Because I think Ashley's wanting to go to a break here, and we have Mark Baird on the other line. So can you come back from the break?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to go to the break, and then we'll be back with both you gentlemen.
Thank you.
The time has come.
4:51.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving a cowboy way. Pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes, I burned up my childhood days. I learned all the rules of a modern-day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead down with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite line roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Jeffersonians, we are back. And on the line, the first caller we were talking to was Gary Zerman. And for those of you that don't know, he's one of the lawyers that's writing our case against California. And on the other line right now, we have Mark Baird. So, Mark and Gary, are both you guys there?
I'm here. This is Gary. Hi, Mark.
Okay. Can you guys hear each other?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So, what's up, Mark? What you got going?
Well, enough. I was just calling in to chime in on your conversation and to add something. We're about to start a Second Amendment fight with the state of California, so I thought that people ought to know about that, and I don't want to talk too much about it until I get an action filed, but that's another front we're going to open up in Jefferson to restore Second Amendment rights in California.
You mean we don't have them?
No, not really, because the state of California has banned concealed carry unless you get a government permission slip. And they have an outright ban on open carry. So, no, you don't have Second Amendment rights in California. We've already lost them. They're gone. And as usual, the people in the state of Jefferson are going to try to get them back for everybody. So we might have a lot of news on that in a week or so, and hopefully it'll be good news.
All right, good. Well done. Now, is there anything we can do, you know, as the sovereign citizens of Jefferson to help in that cause?
Yeah, there is. First of all, fight, vote. You saw what happened in the Kavanaugh hearings. You've seen how corrupt the judiciary is in the interactions that the state of Jefferson and Citizens for Fair Representation have had with the courts. You've seen how corrupt courts are. You've seen how corrupt the political system is. Now imagine that corrupt system with Gavin Newsom in charge. Vote, everybody. You saw what happened in Washington, D.C. Democrats are pulling out all the stops. They will stop at nothing to destroy the Constitutional Republic of the United States and to take control of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate by any means possible. Lying, cheating, stealing, it doesn't bother them a bit. They will savage people's characters. They will use violence, whatever means necessary. You have it within your power to stop that. You, the people listening to this show. All you have to do is vote and get others to vote as well. And if you want to enjoy liberty in the state of California, vote and help us win these lawsuits.
And I believe, if I'm not incorrect, that the 22nd is the last day to sign up to register to vote. I believe that's the date. I don't know.
Oh, there's another program they've got going now. The driver's license voter registration, oddly enough, has registered twice as many Democrats as Republicans. No collusion there. I mean, it's absolutely mind-numbing to me the lengths that the liars, cheaters, and criminals who run this state will go to. And I am going to go ahead and get off the phone because I want to hear what Gary has to say.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Time has come. Time has come for 51.
Amen. Say, Gary, you got to hear that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay. And he's right.
He's right. I mean, like these Kavanaugh hearings, 20 minutes after President Trump nominated Brett Kavanaugh, Schumer came out and said they'll do everything they could to prevent Kavanaugh from being confirmed and getting on the Supreme Court. And then you saw their actions followed that. That wasn't a fair process at all.
Yeah, and less than a minute after he announced him, they had pre-printed signs already, Stop Kavanaugh. Apparently they had three or four sets of those signs and just had to pull out the right ones for whoever he happened to nominate. I thought that was, I don't know, if people cannot see through this, sometimes it amazes me. It's like, how could you get pre-printed signs that fast?
Because and then they jettisoned so many of our foundational principles of presumed innocence, and due process, yep. And like Feinstein, her actions, Senator Feinstein's actions, are just inexplicable, other than she was in on the plot.
And Dianne Feinstein's fighting for a political life right now. I mean, she's not radical enough for her own her old party at this point, so they did not endorse her out here in California.
Which is... Right. They backed her opponent, De Leon, and then we have this... process in California that it's not a party system, it's the two top candidates
yeah.
run, and so we got two Democrats running. Feinstein, she's been there I don't know how many years, but way too long, and then her opponent, De Leon, who was head of the California Senate, and yeah, you're right, she's not left enough, but you saw what she was willing to do withhold this Ms. Ford's allegations. Usually they would investigate those and depose her prior to the hearing to see if her allegations had merit. And you saw that she put forth these allegations and most of the critical facts were missing. They were unsubstantiated, and usually what would happen is you'd never hear from her because they wouldn't go forward and call her because she was not a credible witness.
And just so we don't bash one party only, let's go ahead and admit what the Republicans did, too, because you're right. We got the two top vote-getters get on the ballot in California. So the other corrupt party in our state, instead of, putting forward one candidate that could have gotten onto the ballot, they, as usual, rolled over, shot themselves in the foot, played dead, and put up half a dozen of them that not one of them stood a chance to be one of the top two vote-getters. So both parties are a mess, and...
Well, I agree with that, and what's so amazing is you don't see either party, the Democrats nor the Republicans, out in front on this lack of representation issue. They like it the way it is, and the way it is we have an oligarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys want to retain their power, and look how many of them become lobbyists after they leave.
Well, that's where the money is. That's how they make their fortune.
Well, yeah. It's about them then, and it isn't about us. They're not really representing us in our communities.
Nope. They just want to keep on going after the cash. That's what they're after.
And it's worth a little
and
more.
And you see in these lawsuits, both ours, Citizens for Fair Representation versus Padilla, and then Mr. Laverne's case, Eugene Laverne versus U.S. House of Representatives et al., and both of these cases are just mired down in process. I think there's at least 165 filings in Mr. Laverne's case, and he has his complaint has been dismissed. The case is continuing, and he's appealing, and the other plaintiffs are going forward. And in our case, I think we're up to about 70 filings, and neither one of those cases have gotten to trial. So, so much for your right to trial.
Yeah, if you're a U.S. representative, it's much better for you to be one of 400 than it is one of 6,000.
Oh, yeah.
And so they say that power is the greatest aphrodisiac, and once it gets a hold of you, it's hard to let go, and these people demonstrate it every day.
They do. They do. Now, Gary, switching over with ours, with our Citizens for Fair Representation case, how is that working? We're not any farther forward. We didn't go backwards. We're just kind of at a standstill at this point. Is that correct with where we're at?
Correct. And what we're waiting for is Judge Mueller's decision on the Secretary of State's motion to dismiss. She had earlier granted their motion to dismiss regarding our initial complaint, and she gave us leave to amend. We then filed the second amended complaint. Again, filed another request for a three-judge panel. As I stated earlier, that just laid there. So we brought a motion, and that was calendared. It was taken off calendar, and we were wondering, you know, why aren't we getting heard? So we went to court on their second motion to dismiss, and while we were there, we inquired of her and confronted her, why aren't we getting a ruling on this three-judge panel? And we also brought up that she had earlier given us the three-judge panel but pulled it back. We told her that we had researched thoroughly and never found a case where that had happened before, where it was granted and pulled back.
Never in the entire
universe. There's no authority in the statute to pull it back. It's, again, her jurisdiction is limited, and under the Shapiro versus McManus case, she has to do an initial review of the case and to determine if it's frivolous or not. We got her on the record saying it wasn't frivolous. We got her opposition stating it was not frivolous. So we should have gotten a three-judge panel. She should have referred it over to the chief judge, and all his jurisdiction is limited to appointing the other two judges. And that's so important because if we get a three-judge panel, again, Mr. Laverne in his case, he got a three-judge panel. So you can appeal directly to the Supreme Court then. You don't have to go to the Intermediate Circuit Court. And so he's on his way to the Supreme Court for review. But as I pointed out earlier, when they were back in session now on October 1st, their first day in session, there's a 74-page calendar just full of dismissals. So all these cases come up to the Supreme Court, and they're bottlenecked. And only 80 cases are granted a year for briefing and hearing. And so so many people's rights are getting short shrifted or just being disregarded and ignored.
Yeah.
And so in theory, we've got a great system, but freedom and liberty and truth require constant vigilance, and there's been a lot of people that have been derelict in their duty that have chipped away at the Constitution and our rights, and so a lot of them have become illusory, our rights.
Hey, Gary, I think we need to go to another break, and I've got a couple questions for you when we come back if you could answer those. All right.
Sounds good.
Going to go to break. We'll see you on the other side.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Ah, Abba. Tickle in the eye, please. All right, we're back at it. Hey, Gary, you there?
Yes, huh?
Okay, I have a real quick question before Chris has several questions, too, but I wanted to address this one that you spoke on earlier, and I just want to make sure people understand it. When we put in the request for the three-judge panel, and she gave it to us, and then she rescinded it, that has only been ever done once in the entire United States. Is that correct?
That's well, we found no times that was done except for our case.
Our case is the only one in history that's ever happened, right?
Right.
Okay, so I just want to make sure people understood that it was a one-time deal, and we have that notch in our gun holster, I guess, if you want to call it that.
We should get a spot in Guinness Book of World Records or something there.
Yeah. So I just,
well,
I just want
to... and what we're doing is hoping that Judge Mueller will deny their motion to dismiss our second amended complaint. We're holding out hope for that, but our fingers are crossed. But the way it looks is she's going to probably grant that. But we intend to appeal, and these will be arguments when we appeal.
Now
we'll have to go through the Ninth Circuit because we didn't get the three judge court, and then if the Supreme, the Ninth Circuit denies us, then we will go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
No, that's where my questions were going to go,
really,
Gary.
Novel issues here, and what people need to understand is that representation was if not one of the top issues why this country was formed.
Right.
I mean, the colonists were not getting representation from King George and from England, and they said, we want our liberty, and that's what led to the Declaration of Independence and the Revolution. It's in its primary in the language of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay, now those are all good points, and I'm glad you made them. Now, Chris has three questions he wanted to ask you, so we can make sure we can get this out to our listeners and, our supporters, so that they understand where we're coming from as well. We understand it, but we want you to convey it to the listeners, if you would. Go ahead, Chris.
Sure. Now, go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I see it, or the way we are now, is we're right back to where we started from. The writ, or the request for the writ, has been denied, so we're back in Judge Mueller's court. She can dismiss the case, which we go to the Ninth Circuit. She can dismiss with prejudice. I have a question about that. Or she could actually go ahead and refuse the dismissal and go ahead and hear the case. Are those basically the three options we're at right now?
Well, yes, and also, though, she could just go ahead and say, the statute's implicated. I'm sending it over to the chief judge to appoint the other two judges, and then we'd get the three-judge panel, and we'd be in their courtroom then.
So if she dismisses with prejudice, can we still appeal to the Ninth Circuit?
Yes. I mean, that would be our only relief, because with prejudice means it's over. She also could say, I'm going to dismiss it without prejudice and give you another chance to amend. What she's saying is that we don't have standing, that this is along the lines of what she said earlier in her rulings, is that we have not alleged an individual grievance, that everybody's in the same situation. We argue against that and say that we have put forward distinctions between several of the plaintiffs, and that California's got a historical past of ugly discrimination against several groups.
So if she dismissed without prejudice, we would stay in her court with an amended complaint. Is that right?
Without prejudice?
Yes.
Well, she's got to give us leave to amend, and usually they give you one or two shots. We've had that, and they say that you can't come up with sufficient facts to make a legally sufficient complaint, and so then with prejudice comes in, it means it's you don't get another shot. So I don't think she would dismiss it without prejudice unless she gives us an opportunity to amend again.
Okay, so basically, dismiss in layman's terms, dismiss with prejudice means we go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
We'd have to appeal.
Dismiss with the right to amend. We stay in her court with a new amended complaint. Or
and then possibly go through the process again. And, you know, we're just spinning our wheels.
Or she could not dismiss it and go ahead and hear the case as it sits with the complaint as it is right now in her court. Is that right?
Well, not really, because these cases require a three-judge court because they involve apportionment.
Okay. And she's taken that away from us, so we're not going to hear our case the way it sits in her court right now.
Well, unless we're waiting her ruling, unless, you know, maybe some of these machinations over the Kavanaugh confirmation, you know, could impact on her, and she'd say, wow, you know, the people are out there, and this case deserves to go forward.
Oh, one more thing, one more question for you, because for the life of me, I cannot comprehend the logic here, but of all times, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has said that they don't have enough judges out here, that they need more judges, they're too big of an area, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why they would do this while Trump is president, knowing that he's going to appoint.
Well, you know, all the judges of the, well, it wasn't so much the Ninth Circuit, but they think that way also, but a letter was filed by the Eastern District judges. Every one of them signed it, including Judge Mueller, and we then took that letter and filed a request for judicial notice in our case because they're saying exactly what we're saying, that like the state of Jefferson is saying that California is too big, that local communities have no representation. And in their letter, they were saying, well, we're not being heard. We're telling them that we have too many cases, they can't be heard, and we don't have enough judges. Well, that's exactly what we're saying. And their letter was ironically, to the federal House and Senate. And so they're arguing the same thing that we are.
But they sent this letter knowing that the current administration is going to put in some conservative judges. Is not the majority of the Eastern District Court liberal, like the Ninth Circuit? I mean, they're a part of the Eastern District.
There's a lot of them that are liberal, correct?
Yeah,
But elections have consequences, and, you know, you get a new president. That president is entitled to appoint the judges they want, and then subject to the advice and consent of the Senate. But everything has become so political, it's a war. And part of that is because we're supposed to have a limited government. And everything is about politics now because it's simply about raw power as the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's, again, jettisoning a foundational constitutional principle of limited government. And if there's one place that the government should grow, it should be the legislature because it's first and closest to the people. But that's the one that's grown the least.
Yep.
And what's happened is that the executive branch, number two, in the judiciary, Article Three, they have leapfrogged over the legislature, and the court has become like a super legislature. We have twice as many federal judges as we have representatives, and there's a bunch of vacancies on the court, so there should be even more judges there. And then in California, initially there were very few judges and representatives when California started out, and now since 1862, we've been fixed on the 80 assembly members and 40 senators. Guess how many judges we have in the state?
Probably more than that.
2,000?
About 2,000.
Yeah. And that's amazing.
So the whole process has been inverted, and the judiciary has become this imperial judiciary, and the will of the people is disregarded, ignored.
Okay, now a quick thing, too, is that the delay on our case is currently not moving along like we're all hoping, only because what the judge said when we were in court is that she had a big either murder or criminal case that she was working on, and everything else for other cases was going to be on the back burner. Am I remembering that correctly, Gary?
I think she said something like that, but she also has other cases, and hopefully she's giving us, you know, due deliberation and reflecting on this, and maybe she'll reconsider her decision. I've got my fingers crossed, but, you know, past is usually prologue.
Yeah. Okay. Now, hey, we have another caller on the line that has a question for us. Good morning, Bob. How you doing? Bob, are you there?
Yep.
Okay. What's up?
All right. What I'm getting out of this is that people here in Jefferson and really all over America, we have to get at least 100,000 people to Sacramento to show them that this is serious. We can no longer go there. We can no longer petition unless we have the power of the people. I mean, we could talk about it all we want, but we have to prove to them that we are serious. Is this kind of what we're really looking at?
Yeah, it is. It's very serious, and largely we don't have representation, so our will is largely ignored, so we've got to take some kind of action and let them know. They don't see the light until they feel the heat, and you see what's going on, like, with the far left. I mean, they're out there in these people's face. I don't recommend that, but we've got to get out and let our numbers be seen and shown and let these people know we're dissatisfied with the lack of representation.
Well, the only thing I can see is the people that are so much involved in Jefferson, we are going to have to get our John Q. public off their backside to get them out there, because to me that's the one and only way we can prove, because by paper they're just throwing it in the trash. I mean,
Bob,
you guys are doing a heck of a job
all the time.
If we can't get behind you, we're in trouble.
You find out that it's not what you were told in elementary, junior high, high school, and in the civics books. I mean, it doesn't work that way a lot of times. And if you want your liberty, your freedom, you've got to go out and assert yourself.
Right, right. Well, thank you, Bob. Good questions.
And citizens got to get off their apathy and, you know, do their civic duty.
Well, and Bob's not wrong on that. You know, he's out there on the front lines, you know, talking to people and sharing information and, you know, getting people to understand, you know, where we're at and what we're doing, you know, as quickly as we can within, you know, a couple-minute conversation when you're out in front of a store or at an event and stuff and people ask the question. A lot of times people ask the question, but they don't realize the impact of all the information they have to have in order to understand where we are currently. There's a huge backlog of information that you build a foundation of conversation with them and just to kind of get them up to speed where we're at. And a lot of people don't understand the process, the legal process alone. I mean, going into it in the very beginning for me, I'm, first to admit, totally naive on the understanding of the court process. I had no idea the terminology. I didn't understand how the court system worked. Never been in court, so don't understand that. So just going through that process, it was huge. And so, and I thank you and Scott and the other attorneys that have been working with us to get us to that point, because I've had a huge learning curve and I've got a long way to go, but it's been very helpful for me just to understand where we're at. That's why I always want to know when we have you or Scott or anybody else on the call regarding the case, that explain it so that we can all understand it, because I know there's a lot of information there and people are overwhelmed with what's there. And it's tough. It's tough to wrap your head around.
Well, it's a learning process, an educational process, but you've got to, you know, you're curious and you want to find out what's happening, and that's what people have to do as citizens.
Absolutely.
If they just sit back, believe me, their rights are going to be run right over and their freedom will be lost.
Yep.
And you look at, again, like with illegal immigration, what's happening. I mean, there's been decades of dereliction of duty followed by decades of dysfunction. And now we have these sanctuary cities, counties, states, and demographics is destiny. I mean, they've got this motor voter here in California, and possibly a bunch of illegal aliens are going to be voting.
Yep, yep. Hey, now along those lines, we have somebody who works in the political arena a little bit. We have another caller on the line. It's Terry G. Good morning, Terry. How are you doing?
Good morning, and happy to hear Gary on the call.
Yeah.
Hi, Terry.
Good information. I wanted to correct one thing. First of all, the last day to register to vote is October 30th.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the other comment I wanted to make, I don't know who it was commenting about the top two situation with Prop 14. And one of the problems is what Bob and Gary are talking about also. We had the chance to get enough signatures to put that on the ballot to repeal. And when you go out and you say you're blaming, in general, the Republican Party, no. The person involved that did Prop 14 was Charles Munger, who I don't understand. That's supposed to be a Republican. He's a Silicon Valley guy, and I'm thinking he was trying to undermine the Republican Party in California. What made me angry is during the convention, Jim Brulte, who's chair of the Republican Party, state party, did not listen to so many of the county delegates asking that they join in and take a position to stop Prop 14 and get it repealed. He felt that it should not be done because somehow it was good. The Democrats would have to spend lots of money during their elections. And none of us can get a fix on where he was going. Fortunately, we have candidates for a new state chair next year. But we're going to bring the repeal for Prop 14 back again, just as we will for Sanctuary State. There are going to be a lot of initiatives, and like Bob was saying, if we don't, as individuals, get out there and circulate those petitions, educate the people, then we're not going to get anywhere. And that stands for Jefferson also. I put a call out for counties to get out there and get on the street and have yes on six, repeal the gas tax and vehicle tax. I could get like 12 people that offered to do it. Thank God most of them were Jefferson, and yes, I had some from the Republican Central Committee. That should have been going on in every corner, in every county, because yes on six is driving this election, and the Democrats are hoping it will fail. And if it does, then they're going to go ahead and think that we're so dumb and so complacent, then we're going to go ahead and we're going to push to repeal Prop 13, we'll bring the cell phone tax back, the water tax, et cetera, et cetera. So this is it. This is the time. We have got to get out there, and not just for yes on six, but at the same time, you can talk about all the good that Jefferson is to change this entire situation. So that is my plea today. Voters, you got to get smart. You got to get out there, and we have to get out there both for this election and for Jefferson.
Amen. Thank you very much, Terry. You're spot on as usual.
Okay. Thank you, guys. And
thank
have
you, Terry.
A good Sunday.
You
and
too,
thanks,
sir.
Gary.
Hey, Gary, we've got 1 minute left. Anything you want to give us a heads up on?
Well, I'd second what Terry said. People got to get out there if they care about their freedom. You've got to wake up. You've got to learn, you've got to get out and vote and protect yourself, because otherwise that vacuum will be filled by people that don't have your interest at heart, and you'll lose your liberty and your freedom. And you can see it happening here. Look at this gas tax in California.
Yeah.
And if that's not repealed, guess what? There's going to be more taxes coming down the pike at every turn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And remember what Patrick Henry said, no taxation without representation. Give me liberty or give me death. And those people were serious. They pledged their lives on the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
And we're sitting back complaining that, oh, it's too hard and
Yeah, they pledge their lives, their treasure, and their sacred honor. What are we pledging? You know?
Right.
All right. Hey, well, Gary, thank you very much for coming on and being with us. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Wim. Thanks, Chris. And anytime.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
4:51. Don't say you don't serve us. You serve
out of hate. The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco & Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco & Brew, open 7 days a week.